I want to grab a guy by the shoulders, every single guy I know, and go, you've got to learn the lesson that these guys that I've been talking to have not learned. And if you don't learn it, you're going to be in the danger zone and your life's going to be a 5-alarm fire. Run your home and your dough like a biblical boss. Hello, gentlemen. It's just Stephen today. Abraham's Wallet, God bless America, has been going faithfully for a couple of years now. And our episodes are either based on questions that we get from listeners or technical facts and skills that we want to equip you with. For that reason, our episodes are not like this, where they're going to be, very personal and confessional. And I don't see Abraham's Wallet as my place for therapy. So I'm not working out my stuff in front of an audience. However, I just feel compelled to take this time today because, as some of you know, I've been a pastor for decades. I spend time with men one-on-one and one-on-two a lot. And they're either guys that come to me for some kind of pastoring and oversight into their life, or they're guys that I'm discipling and I'm taking responsibility for. And it's great. I love that. Love doing that. But because of that, if you add, I don't know, 6 or 7 or 8 meetings like that a week, and multiply that times 20 years, I've heard a few stories. And I always tell guys, whatever you have to confess to me, I've heard it before, and I'm not going to be shocked by it. But when I come across themes that I'm hearing, like I have in the last month or so, I honestly want to take every single guy. This is true. If you played pickleball with me or you hung out with me or whatever, you would hear this. I want to grab a guy by the shoulders, every single guy I know, and go, you've got to learn the lesson that these guys that I've been talking to have not learned. And if you don't learn it, you're going to be in the danger zone and your life's going to be a 5-alarm fire. And, Jesus took his fellas at the end of John, and he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. I want to breathe sometimes into my guys, just breathe truth into them and just go, just trust me. Please listen to me. Please trust me. And that's how I feel today. I would like to come to every single guy I know, and you fall under that category for me. You're guys that I have access to. And I would just like to beg you, grab you by the shoulders, look you in the eye and say, I am begging you in the name of God and for everything that you want accomplished this year in your life and 50 years from now in your life, I am begging you to make a decision to be faithful to your wife, come what may. I don't care how she acts. I don't care whether she supports you the way she should. I don't care whether she encourages you the way you would like her to. I don't care how she responds to your kindnesses. By the way, I know a lot of guys who are fairly rough with their wives. They should treat their wives like men on the work site. And they're very bottom line with them. And then occasionally, every 8th day, they'll give them a little compliment or a sweetness, and the wife will look at them like, okay, thanks, and then get back to it. And the guy's like, I don't know why she didn't respond to the kindness I just threw down on her. Well, because that's not the tenor of your relationship. That's not how you normally talk to her. And if you are faithful to be kind and considerate to your wife, and if you try to listen to her when she describes the problems that she has with you, I hear the word tone used often from my wife talking to me about me. Well, guess what? I'm sure I disagree with that comment, but that doesn't mean that I don't need to listen to her and try to consider, okay, if I want to get my point across and she's telling me, be considerate of your tone, then that might be a good idea for me to be considerate of my tone. Regardless, even if you are a tone wizard and your wife does not respond the right way, fellas, I wish I could take your big muscly shoulders in my hands and say, whatever the story is with you and her, please be faithful to your wife. I want you guys to understand so deeply and believe so deeply that faithfulness to the covenant that you made with God, for which your wife is the beneficiary. I really believe this is how marriage works. I'm not making a deal with a woman. Hey, let's shake on it. You do this and I'll do this. I don't think that's what the marriage covenant is. The marriage covenant is a commitment I make before the God of heaven. And I say, by your name, and based on your truth, I will be faithful to this woman and I will serve her till the day I die. She's the beneficiary of that covenant, but it's a covenant I make with God. Let me finish my sentence. I often sidetrack myself. The covenant that you made with God, for which she is a benefit, it is the same thing as your relationship with God. When you come to God, When you approach God, you come to Him through all of the covenants that He has made and that you have made with others in His name. He is a covenant God. So when you approach Him, if you approach God at all, I know that you are invoking, for instance, an Abrahamic covenant. You might not think in those terms, but God wouldn't deal with you at all. He would have nothing to do with you if He hadn't first chosen Abraham and said, I am going to use this family. I'm going to put my name on this family and I'm going to bless them. And through this family line, there's going to be something coming that will bless all nations. Then, of course, there's the Jesus covenant that arises from that Abrahamic covenant. I could even say that Abrahamic covenant arises from the Noahic covenant. And some people believe God made a covenant with Adam. Fine. They all lead to this, the Jesus covenant. When Jesus says, I'm revealing a new covenant to you, He's fulfilling Jeremiah 31. There's this new covenant. When we come to God, when you say, Dear Lord, at dinner time, you say, Dear Lord, immediately in that moment is invoked every covenant that God has made with man by which you are a beneficiary. Also, what is the case is that all of the covenants that you have signed your name to, that includes my relationship with God is based on covenant. My relationship with my wife is based on covenant. This is an extra biblical idea. You don't have to believe me, but I have a working theory that my relationship with my children is a covenant relationship. What I'm saying is when you fold your hands over the roast beef and you say, Dear God, at that moment, God looks at you through the lens of every covenant that you've made. And if those waters are muddy, my friend, you have trouble talking to God. I can prove that scripturally. I'll give you an example. 1 Peter 3:7 says, In the same way, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, with great gentleness and tact, and with an intelligent regard for the marriage relationship, as with someone physically weaker, since she is a woman. Show her honor and respect as a fellow heir of the grace of life, listen to this, so that your prayers will not be hindered or ineffective. Did you catch that? Show your wife honor and respect as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered or ineffective. What clearer message could we get that my relationship with my wife, this covenant relationship that we've got going, understanding what I said, I believe the covenant is with God and that she's a beneficiary. The covenant is with God to treat her a certain way, lay my life down for her. And when I come to God, he invokes all of those covenants and goes, how's that going? You don't have the option of doing violence. That's a Bible word. You don't have the option of doing violence to that covenant with your wife and then things being hunky-dory with God. Please indulge me. If you don't think that this has anything to do with you because your marriage is so great and you're not tempted in that way, so we're not in a crisis right now. I'm not sure that this applies to me. You're exactly who I'm talking to. Guys who you think everything is okay, I want you to know, if you are under the age of 60, the temptation to serve yourself by being unfaithful to your wife, and I mean that emotionally, I certainly mean that sexually, it is going to present itself to you. I want you to act as if that's the case, okay? And if you think I'm okay, I'm talking to you. Because you're a little bit simplistic in your thinking. Oh, I think we're okay. No, the enemy, your enemy, is prowling around like a lion and he wants to destroy you. And destroying your family is job one. Destroy your family and destroy any godly lineage that you might have. Very high on the priority list of the enemy. So let me read to you a passage that you might have heard recently. I don't know, but I want you to hear it again. It's from Malachi 2. Verse 10 says, why do we deal treacherously with one another, profaning the covenant of our fathers? Verse 13, you cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with your weeping and your sighing, because the Lord no longer regards your offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. And you say, why does he reject it? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your marriage companion and the wife of your covenant made by your vows. I'm skipping to verse 15. Take heed then to your spirit and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel, and him who covers his garment with wrong and violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, keep watch on your spirit so that you do not deal treacherously with your wife. Now, that passage does talk about divorce, but divorce is not all that it's talking about. It's talking about a much bigger subject, and that is the way that you treat your wife. And God seems to take it very personally. These stories that I'm coming across are men who are not being faithful to Hebrews says that God's intention is that the marriage bed be kept pure. That means sexual purity. Be faithful to your wife. I don't care what she's like. I don't care how she makes you feel. I don't care how much she hurts you. I don't care how much she doesn't listen to you. I don't care how many problems she creates. I have sympathy for those things. And if we could sit one-on-one, I'd listen to you and I'd pray for you and I'd have grace and understanding for those things. But none of those things give you license to deal, I'm quoting what we just read, to deal treacherously with her. None of those things give you license to go outside your marriage to express yourself sexually. I know guys who are on this side of, they had a sexual dalliance. Their marriage crumbled as a result. You cannot calculate the amount of regret that these men feel about, they would say, their lives are ruined. That they cannot get back what has been lost. And I wish that I could shake you sober. If you are making any sort of plans to go a wandering, brother, that juice is not worth the squeeze. What it will cost you is not worth it. I am begging you, men, don't know where you are in the world right now, don't know what's happening in your life. I'm begging you to make resolve in your heart. Oh God, as real as my relationship is with you, and as much as my relationship with you matters to me, I always think of what Job said to his wife, who did not act in a godly way. She was not a wonderful friend and supporter of him. She encouraged him to curse God and die. Not helpful advice from a wife. Job's wife was not great. And what Job said to his wife is, "Woman, God is the stronghold of my life." And he says, my faith is my life. That's all I got, lady. And he was wise in that. If you feel that way at all, then just commit yourself. I'm going to be faithful to the marriage covenant that I made before God until the day I die. I was with a group of youth this past week, and I told them, because I so understand this picture, Ephesians 5, a lot of us are familiar with Ephesians 5, talks about submission, wives submitting their husbands, husbands laying down their lives for their wives. In the end, it says, I'm not talking about husbands and wives, I'm talking about Christ and the church. I am so convinced that the main faithfulness I bring to the gospel of Jesus Christ is the way that I live out the gospel of Jesus Christ under my own roof to my wife. I'm so convinced of that, that I said to this group of students, my wife could sleep with half the town. She could bankrupt me. She could murder my family. She could go on a rampage, and I would slit my own throat before I ever divorced that woman. It will never, ever happen to me. And by the grace of God, I would like to also say, I would cut off parts of my body, if you know what I'm saying, before I would ever be unfaithful to my wife. Now, I can't ever say this kind of thing without saying, if this has happened to you, you've fallen, you've been unfaithful. I had a conversation with a guy today. That's where he lives. And I'm so happy to report that for those who repent and confess, there is forgiveness. And all is not lost. All is not lost. But I don't know how any wife is going to react. I don't know what kind of forgiveness. I can't guarantee you what it'll be like. And I don't even have to walk through that doorway. I'd rather you just walked the straight and narrow path of obedience and faithfulness to God and to your wives. I do encourage you to recommit. One of the things that me and my wife do on our anniversary is we recommit to each other because we forget. So we refresh our vows to one another. We say those things to each other. I'm committed to you for the rest of my life. And we've been through some hard days, and maybe we'll go through some more hard days in the future. But it's good to be refreshed. It's good to hear it come out of her mouth. I know it's good for her to hear it coming out of my mouth. And it's good for me to hear it coming out of my mouth. I am committed to you come what may. And I see my relationship with God woven into my relationship with you. I heard something today that said, it's a wise move to treat people in the way that you would like to want to treat them if they acted the way you wanted them to. So if my wife was sweet to me and she considered, you know what? I would love to run in the front door, sweep her up into my arms, give her a big kiss and a squeeze, and then ask her how her day was, and then share with her some of our great plans and say, let's throw some steaks on the grill. But I won't do that because she's just been such a problem lately, and she's just got such a bad attitude, etc. What the sociologists tell us is that if you'll start treating her the way you would want to treat her if she acted the way you wanted her to, you just start doing it. Just make a decision. I don't know what she's going to be like, but I'm going to walk in that house and I'm going to swoop her up, give her a big kiss, give her a squeeze, and tell her, let's throw some steaks on. It's a great night. What you will find is that your heart will migrate toward her more and more. And some of the old frost and callousness of unresolved hurts and unforgiveness and petty hurts and all that stuff, those things can melt away. And I encourage you to want to love your wives. Want to have a great friendship with your wife. Want her to be the partner in raising your family. Want her to be your partner in your business plans and in your finances that you're growing together. Want to share vision with her so that you're pulling in the same direction. Guys, there's nothing more important in your daily life under your household than that you would know God and spend time with Him. That's the number one thing. Seek Him, spend time in His Word. And the number two thing in all of your world for running your home and your dough like a biblical boss would be shoring up and enriching your relationship with your wife. I just last night, I'm in a pickleball league, saw a good two buddies actually, who came to that league with paddles in hands with their wives in tow, and everybody was smiles. It was like we're a team together. We're looking forward to doing this thing together and getting out and exercising together. And my heart was warmed at these couples playing together and competing together, and they're doing teamwork together. And that's the kind of thing you should be going out of your way to make happen. It's worth all of the money that you'll ever come across in your life. It's worth all of the time to come up with good ideas. It's worth all of the physical strain for you to, for instance, make your body more attractive to your wife and to enrich your physical space. You know, make sure that your wife loves your bed. Spend some money so that she loves spending time in the bedroom with you. That seems like a big no-duh to me. And obviously, I'm just walking through five capitals. And for goodness sake, pray. I'm trying to come to you as a friend and a counselor. And so we don't often do this, and it can be hokey, but I'm going to pray for you if you'll receive it. I imagine you driving in your car or going for a run, and I'm just going to pray for you. Lord, for every man who's listening to my voice today, if he's not presently going through strain in his marriage, he will be, or he has. But God, I pray for grace for these men, one that you'd give them a steel resolve with an iron fist. I will be faithful to my wife, come what may. God, would you please impress this resolve in our men? Secondly, God, would you enrich and expand our love for our wives, that we might love her the way that you love your church? You give yourself up for her. You do not demand your way, Lord. You certainly have the right to, and yet you don't. You are so humble, you're so patient, you're so gentle with me and with your bride collectively. We honor you as our example, as the great groom of the sinful bride. And may we look like you in our marriages, Lord. May we not do any damage, any violence to the covenant that you have invited us into in our marriages. Bless these guys. If any have fallen, let them find a place quickly for confession and repentance to turn around. If anybody's tempted, Lord, would you call them back? And for those who are there in a good spot, I ask that the fear of God would rest on them. Oh Lord, don't let me ever wander away from your precepts in my marriage. I bless you guys. In the name of Jesus, I bless you as family leaders, and I bless you, I really do today, to run your home and all of your dough like a biblical boss.